ideas and new technology are causing seismic shifts in the media industry. Where are we headed? What does it mean? Keep listening. Media strategist Gabriella Mirabelli talks with the brightest minds in entertainment and business. Meet the innovators, the risk takers, and the disruptors on the front lines of change from Hollywood, Wall Street, Silicon Valley, and beyond. The future is coming to a screen near you. Are you ready? This is the Up Next podcast with Gabriella Mirabelli.
Welcome to Up Next. I'm your host, Gabriella Mirabelli. One of the behavioral changes that happened as a result of COVID is the loss of the commute. People, quite simply, are driving less. But does this mean that consumers aren't interested in cars or car ownership? YPulse, the leading authority on Gen Z and millennial opinions and behaviors, has just released a new trend report on young consumers' attitudes around car ownership and transportation. Mary Lee Bliss, YPulse's VP of Content, is here to discuss what YPulse's research can tell us. Mary Lee, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
I'm really looking forward to digging into the detail of YPulse's transportation trend report. First, before we do that, can you give us a quick overview of the methodology and number of people you surveyed for the study?
Absolutely. So YPulse surveys young consumers about the big cultural shifts that are going on in their lives, but really that they're fueling, that Gen Z and millennials are creating with their, you know, huge changes in behavior and points of view. We field a monthly survey on different trends, and that's among 1,000 13 to 39-year-olds in the U.S. It's a nationally representative survey with a margin of error of 3 to 5%. So, you know, really looking accurately at how young consumers are feeling in this moment.
Fantastic. In our previous conversations, we often find ourselves talking about how COVID has accelerated things. But with transportation, it kind of broke things, didn't it? I mean, so, you know, when you looked at previous survey data from previous years, did you see a drop in car use?
We saw a huge shift in behavior, and it's, you know, not too big of a surprise.
Not really.
Like, here we are, we're all staying at home, and Gen Z and millennials are still staying at home. The majority still tell us that they are quarantining, which to them means, you know, mostly going out only for work or school or essentials. They're not, you know, for the most part, traveling, visiting public places, and they're driving less. You know, they're working from home, they're going to school from home, so many of them. And so their commutes have drastically decreased. So when we look at the numbers, you know, we see that 79% of young people commuted pre-COVID, but 46% of millennials are now not commuting at all or commuting less. So, you know, a really big drop there. And then just in general, we see car use drop. So we see that 42% of young people with access to a car say that they are driving less because of COVID.
So I saw that there was a drop in the daily car use, which makes sense because of the commuting. But I also saw that there was an uptick in weekly use. And what does that mean? Or is that just a result of because they're not doing it daily, they fall into the weekly bucket?
Well, I think it's a few things. Absolutely. You know, it's just that drop in frequency, right? So their commuting has decreased significantly. And so when they are going out, it's just, you know, once a week, maybe twice, as opposed to every day in the car. You know, also things like grocery shopping, you know, those things might have been more frequent, but now are done in fewer trips, trying to minimize the amount of time that they're spending in stores and out in public.
Right. Well, I mean, we've talked about retail, and if that's gone digital, you simply don't need to jump in the car as much.
Exactly.
I imagine that there might be regional differences here. For example, California is a car culture versus some of the East Coast cities and towns where it's possible to walk and bike more places. Did you see differences regionally?
That's a really interesting question. We do look at data by region, and I will take a look actually and see what we can find.
I mean, I'm particularly curious where you do have heavy car culture locations, specifically California, where it's simply not as easy to even go for groceries without a car.
Yeah, absolutely. So we did ask, you know, because of COVID, are you no longer doing, you know, a variety of things? And when we look at region, we can see that actually those in the West are the most likely to say that because of COVID, they're no longer commuting to work. Compared 24% of those in the West say that as compared to 20% of those in the Northeast, 15% of those in the South, and only 10% of those in the Midwest.
Interesting.
I do think, you know, obviously if you're using cars more,
right.
Then there's, when you change your behavior so drastically, then of course, you know, it's an even bigger shift in your life. And, you know, but overall we do see that just in general, young people across the country are driving less.
So before COVID, ride sharing and car sharing was a trend. So what's going on with that right now? Because obviously people don't want to be in shared space or touch shared objects.
Mm-hmm. You know, millennials have had this reputation, right, for years of not caring about cars because ride sharing is available. And, you know, we saw some data that indicated that they didn't think owning a car was as necessary. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, we've also long said that, you know, the industry is overlooking millennials who actually have been interested in cars all this time. That being said, we do know, yes, they're more likely to use ride shares than previous generations. But during this time, definitely ride share, all, you know, forms really of public transportation, including ride sharing services, have decreased significantly. So before COVID-19, there was 48% of young people who said that they never used ride sharing services. That has increased to 63% who now say that they're not and never use ride sharing services currently. You know, of course, I think that safety, issue is a part of it. When we look at when they say they'll feel comfortable with jumping back on public transportation or ride sharing services or any of these things, you know, we see pretty clearly that they're waiting. They're waiting to see. And many say that they're waiting for after a vaccine.
That's interesting. Well, I suppose certainly subways feel like pneumatic tubes where they're just shoving right. all the air and sharing all the germs. What about the scooters that used to litter the roads in Santa Monica for sure? So what's happened with them? Are they, I mean, you know, people want to get out, they want to do something. Are those still popular or not so much?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we actually have seen an increased interest in alternative transportation, and there have been a lot of headlines and news stories and some kind of questioning, like, are e-bikes and scooters now going to replace cars for young people? But, you know, while we do see a huge amount of interest, 47% of young people have purchased or are interested in purchasing a bike or a scooter, rollerblades or roller skates since the start of COVID-19, which is huge. We've seen things like roller skates trend on platforms like TikTok, and, you know, bike stores selling out of supply and not being able to keep up with the demand. But when we ask about why they want to own an alternative form of transportation, like a, you know, bike or a scooter, really the reasons are more about enjoyment and exercise than transportation. So the top two reasons are exercise and to enjoy the outdoors more. And then the third is transportation, but it's only, you know, a third of those who are interested or have purchased these things who say that they've done it as an alternative actual form of transportation to replace something else.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I was wondering if consumers miss the act of driving, the experience of driving, or if it's purely the utility of driving. What is it that they miss?
So, yeah, that's one of the most interesting things that we found in our research is young people are driving less. They're, you know, they're not commuting as much, which, you know, you might assume is this huge hassle cut out of their lives, a cost as well, right? Mm-hmm. That they no longer have. And there was an assumption for years, there's been an assumption about young people that they don't care about cars anyway. So, you know, you would think, great, you know, like, I don't have to drive anymore. I don't have to commute anymore. But in fact, we found the opposite, that young people actually really do miss driving. They miss driving. They miss their commutes, even that routine. So, you know, the fact that 70% of those who are currently working from home say they miss their daily commute. They're missing that time of decompression, you know, the space between home life and work life to kind of settle down and change gears is incredibly important. And that routine is gone now. So there's really, you know, fewer lines. There's much more blurriness between where work and home start and end. So, you know, you see new trends like virtual commutes or, you know, at-home commutes. Actually, Microsoft Teams is one of the first organizations that we've seen implement this with a virtual commute in their Teams platform.
Oh, that sounds just awful, I have to say.
I mean, if the
whole purpose of the commute is that you want to decompress and not be at home and not be at work either, mm-hmm. it feels like such a false, I don't know. But is it popular? Is it working?
So it's, you know, just a new trend that's growing, right? So there's not a huge amount of data on whether it's working, but it seems to be popular and spreading in terms of, you know, qualitative data and information. You know, people are looking for just that mental space. So the virtual commute that particularly Microsoft Teams released goes alongside, a guided meditation. So it's a moment of reflection. I think there's a lot of opportunity here as well. You know, there could be, virtual commute playlists that a Spotify or a Pandora, or even, you know, other brands could put out to replace that routine, you know, that moment of transitioning from one mindset to another, I think is what a lot of them are missing. But when we ask them what they're doing less and what they miss, you know, listening to the radio, listening to music, that, you know, time with media is part of it. And when we look at what they miss about driving, because, you know, aside from commutes, we see that 89% of young people who are driving less say that they miss it. They miss driving. And, you know, they miss the music and radio, but they also just miss the feeling of it and having alone time. Right?
Right. I mean, two things are going on there. I mean, with the commute, I'm curious, do they say what they are doing with that time? Are they simply just sleeping later? Or are they going to work earlier? Is it that work has now, let's say their commute was an hour each way, are they now working two extra hours because they can? Or are they sleeping in? Are they exercising? How are they using that time?
I think work has, you know, bled into a lot of it, a lot of that time, actually. And I think, you know, we actually saw this in our music survey that we did recently, that they're just spending less time, you know, and speaking particularly to the music point, they're spending less time listening to music, even though they're spending more time at home because they're not having those dedicated moments for it.
Well, right, where it's an audio as opposed to a visual. I think podcasts have also gone down. When I was with Billboard, we saw that in the numbers. So America is sometimes described as a car culture. So when the car is taken away, absence makes the heart grow fonder, doesn't it? I mean, they actually like their cars more. And what I'm curious about is, you had said, despite the popular opinion that millennials weren't that into cars, that they actually did like cars. So have they actually started to like cars more now? Or is it just that we're noticing that, they like them and they still like them?
I think that there's both things are happening. Among those who already, you know, preferred cars and liked cars, they still like them. And actually there's a deeper appreciation, but a change in kind of the relationship with the vehicle, which sounds a little ridiculous, but, you know, from something that's utilitarian, you know, here I go, I get in my car every day and I go and I get my coffee and I go to work, or, you know, whatever the routine is, to something that feels a little bit more special,
right?
You know, and the way that they are viewing their cars is shifting, what those cars are for, and what they allow them. And then among those who don't have cars, I think that there's a newfound desire to have one.
Well, that was actually my next question. So has the desire for car purchase gone up?
Yes, we have seen an increase in those who desire, want to purchase a car. And we've
have
seen
purchases also gone up?
Yeah, we've seen an increase in those who have purchased a car. So 19% of young people tell us they've become more interested in buying a car because of COVID. And that's, of course, even bigger among those without access to a car. We see over a quarter of those young people without access to a car currently are more interested than they were before COVID. But, you know, really significantly, 11% of 20 to 38-year-olds have purchased a car because of COVID. That translates to 9 million millennials.
Wow.
So, you know, when you see headlines about car dealerships, used car lots, not being able to, you know, keep stock, we see really clearly that millennials are a huge force behind that. They are buying cars because of the pandemic, even though they're not needing to drive as much, because that car means safety and it means an escape. They want to be able to escape.
So you mentioned, you know, dealers and used cars, pre-owned cars. Is it only the uptick in that particular market? Because you also have this economic factor going on that people are concerned about the economics of any purchase, and a car purchase is not a small purchase.
Right, absolutely. I think it's actually both ends. Yes, absolutely. Young people are most interested overall in cars that are understated, not flashy, and that cars that serve a, you know, a purpose. We do see an increased interest in pre-owned cars, and planning to buy a pre-owned car has increased slightly from 47% back in 2018. The kind of car that they plan to buy was pre-owned, and now it's 52. So a little bit of an increase there. And certainly there's financial reasons, but at the same time, when we look at the reasons that young people are interested in purchasing a car or have purchased one since the start of COVID-19, one of the top reasons is that they have extra money to spend. The reality is that, yes.
Oh, because they're not spending as much doing other things?
Absolutely. Mm. If you are still employed, you're not going out to dinner. Maybe have had some trips that have been canceled. We've actually seen an increased rate of those who have savings compared to last year. So, you know, yes, we are seeing kind of a tale of two pandemics, right? Where there are some who are absolutely suffering and are out of work. And Gen Z especially, you know, who had more of the retail jobs, the restaurant jobs, you know, there's a lot of struggle there. But for millennials who were more established, are still employed, which the majority of millennials are, there's actually opportunity here to, you know, create a nest egg or to transition spending from some of the things that they're not enjoying anymore to something a little bit more big ticket, like a car.
Right. Well, that's interesting. And when you look at the features in terms of what people want from their cars, is it uniform between the younger end of the young consumer and the older end of the young consumer, or is there a difference between those two groups?
Yeah, we see some differences for sure. I mean, millennials are pretty practical minded when it comes to their vehicles. And even though I think, you know, there's been kind of a mentality within the car industry that, you know, technology has to be incredibly advanced in order to attract millennials, the top things that they're looking for are pretty basic. You know, they're looking for fuel efficiency, reliability, comfort, safety. You know, millennials really have that mindset of, you know, a lot of them have families. They're wanting the quality and the durability. But when we look at Gen Z, the younger end, especially, they're far more likely to be looking for things like, you know, technology integration, eco-friendliness as well. Gen Z absolutely, we think, will be the ones who usher in this next generation of eco-friendly cars. They're far more open to driving a car that only runs on electric power. You know, millennials are interested in these things as well, but they're not necessarily some of the top things that they're looking for.
Well, I think that's really interesting. Priuses are sometimes part of a joke in the film Horrible Bosses. Justin Bateman is claiming he was drag racing in his car and the police say in a Prius. And he says, I don't win a lot. So, a few years ago, it was a certain type of person who wanted a hybrid or an electric car. And you're saying the appeal is really broadened. So it's a generational appeal. It's still not a splinter within. It's broad.
We see absolutely that both Gen Z and millennials are interested in owning both electric and hybrid cars. So we see that 71% of 18 to 24 year olds and 68% of 25 to 39 year olds say that owning a hybrid car is cool or in style. So absolutely, we see that the majority of both these generations are interested in eco-friendly cars, even if it's not the top thing that's deciding their purchase.
That's interesting. One of the things, going back to just sort of the features between the cars that they wanted that were slightly different, I found it interesting that the younger people were interested in the sound system, and that those things were, you know, if you think about entertainment and having that entertainment in the car, which then led me to think about self-driving cars, you know, because that's one of the things people talk about. And they talk about this as a, it's going to open up the time that people have available for media. You know, this is going to be a whole new media opportunity.
Right.
So one of the things I was curious about though, is how does this desire to drive, the act of driving that people are talking about, not only the utility of driving, but the act of driving. Mm-hmm. That's one of the things they miss. How do people feel about self-driving cars where they're chauffeured by their vehicle? Is it the agency of driving, or is it simply picking the destination, or is it the actual act of driving? What's behind that?
When we look at, you know, what they're missing, and we see that, you know, media is number one on that list, you know, listening to the music, listening to the radio, that's significant. But the right underneath it is the feeling of driving. I mean, almost neck and neck. 50% miss listening to the music and radio, 52% miss the feeling of driving. So absolutely, I would say that there is a desire to, you know, have that control. And be in control of the car. At the same time, yes, young people do have this idea as well that self-driving cars are the future. We see absolutely that the majority of 13 to 39 year olds do agree with that. And the majority would drive in a self-driving car. Is this something that they're going to be demanding and, you know, clamoring for? I'm not sure that's going to happen quite so soon.
Well, you know, I wonder if it'll be a bit like cake mixes, where a cake mix could be made that doesn't require eggs, but the manufacturers found that people cooking wanted to feel they were doing more. So they made it so you add the egg. Yeah. It isn't necessary, but they did it because that made the person feel that they had made the cake or they had made the thing. And I wonder how the human desire to go on the open road and to own that is going to affect how self-driving cars materialize. I mean, obviously you're going on a road trip. It'd be great if the car would drive at night so you could take a nap, but you still might want to be able to drive and control part of the time. And
I wonder if, you know, the term hybrid in the future will apply to more than just eco-friendliness. Apply to, you know, being able to do both of self-driving and being in control, depending on your mood.
You know, it's not just the car companies who should be paying attention to this. A lot of what you've been talking about actually relates tangentially and even centrally to other industries and other businesses, doesn't it?
Absolutely. I think that every industry really has some vested interest in understanding this shift. You know, that desire for escape, the desire to be alone, to have some alone time, you know, that can be played into in so many ways, whether you're a media company or, you know, you're providing guided meditations or you're a travel company and you could really change the way that you're appealing. But there's also, you know, the change in relationship with cars and the change in viewing what a car is for, from being, utilitarian to being about fun, about escape, that also is an opportunity for so many brands. You know, we've seen experientification change during this time, right? We can't be in crowds standing next to each other at events or Instagrammable, you know, festivals, but we can be in our cars and have those experiences. So we've seen amazing trends. Like, brands have really been creative about this. Even, you know, around Halloween, I thought it was really fascinating that things like haunted car washes were trending. You know, they've been done before, but they were more popular than ever this year, with hundreds of cars lining up, because, you know, that going through the car wash becomes a ride if you're, you know, change the music and change the lights and add a couple things. You know, so experientification within the car where they feel safe, but they're still looking for those moments of escape. I think all brands can really be creative and figure out, you know, how can you tap into drive-throughs, drive-ins, road trips, and speak to this huge interest that millennials and Gen Z clearly have right now.
Has there been an uptick in road trips and things like that? I would imagine, yes.
Absolutely. Road trips have been a huge trend, maybe the biggest travel trend of 2020. You know, as so many trips abroad were canceled, we continued to see that millennials still wanted to have those escapes. Airbnb has reported, you know, huge numbers this year. When we researched travel earlier this year, we saw very clearly that road trips are one of the number one kinds of trips that they're willing to take right now. So they still want that, you know, that feeling of being away from home, having that escape in a safe way. And that's one of the kind of top solutions that they've found.
That's so interesting. Well, it's been fascinating talking to you about transportation, about cars, about how people are feeling about these vehicles, even though they haven't been able to or haven't had to commute as much. So I think everybody's going to find this very interesting conversation. What's the next piece of research we can look forward to?
Well, we're looking in the next month at how food consumption, but just the relationship with food, cooking, and diet has shifted in a trend we're calling comfort in the kitchen. You know, absolutely. Everybody knows that, you know, there've been huge food trends during this time and, you know, cooking.
Sourdough bread.
Oh yes. Banana bread, sourdough, all the breads. You know, cooking at home, of course, has increased, but we wanted to see, as, you know, all this time has dragged on, is it still something that they're enjoying, or is this becoming a necessity that they're getting tired of? So we dug into exactly, you know, what their feelings around cooking and diet and their relationship with food right now looks like, you know, as the pandemic is no longer a temporary moment.
That should be very interesting. Well, thanks so much for your time. This has been great.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you.
We've reached the end of another episode of Up Next, and I'd like to close by thanking my production team at Up Next, my friend Rob Naughton, and the voice artist who recorded our open, and of course, all of you, the members of our audience, thank you. I'll be talking to you again next time, right here on Up Next.